Well, last Sunday I shared a little story with the Sunday Mass. Let me begin again with that. And it had to do at school. The children had their class picture taken, and the teacher was trying to persuade them all to buy a copy of the group picture. She said, "Just think how nice it will be to look at it years from now when you're all grown up and say, 'There's Jennifer, she's a lawyer.' Or 'That's Michael, he's a doctor.' 'That's Susie, she's a nurse.'" And a small voice at the back of the room rang out, "And there's the teacher, she's dead." Well, in today's gospel, we have the Lord talking about his own death. He says, "When the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself." And it says, "And this indicated the kind of death that he would die." This word "lifting up" could only mean one thing, and was to be crucified. That's what it meant, to be lifted up from the earth. That's the kind of death that Jesus knew that he was going to endure, a death by crucifixion. Take a look at this passage we have tonight from John chapter 12. And one of the most fascinating and interesting in all of the New Testament. And this occurred 1 week before the Lord was to be crucified. 1 week before his death. And it says some Greeks had come up to worship at the temple to celebrate the feast of Passover. I mean, that is interesting in itself, because these were Gentiles, these were pagans, and yet they were men of goodwill. They were wise men. They wanted to come and worship the one true God of the Jews. They wanted to come to the temple and pray over during Passover in the temple. And isn't it interesting that 33 years before, right after the birth of Christ, wise men had traveled from the east and had traveled to Bethlehem, all the way from Persia, to visit the newborn King of the Jews. And here we have it again. 1 week before his death, wise men, not from the east, but from the west, from Greece, came to Jerusalem to talk to Jesus. And they said, "We want to see Jesus." So these were pagans. These were Gentiles. They were Greek philosophers and wise men. So at his birth, the wise men came from the east, from Persia. And now, right before his death, the wise men came from the west, from Greece, to visit with Christ. And it says when they came into Jerusalem, they went to one of Jesus' disciples named Philip. Why would they go to Philip? Well, first of all, Philip was a Greek name. Philip spoke Greek, and he was from Bethsaida, the Greek-speaking territory of Galilee. So they went to Philip first, and then they said, "We want to see Jesus." Isn't that a beautiful expression? We want to see Jesus. So many people outside our faith, they want to see Jesus. That's why they convert to the faith. They want to receive the Eucharist. They want to see Jesus and worship him and get to know Christ personally. Philip does not go to Jesus directly. He goes to Andrew. For some reason, we don't know why, Andrew was the PR man of the apostles. Every time you see Andrew, he's always introducing people to Christ. The three times Andrew is mentioned in the New Testament specifically is when he introduces his brother Peter to Jesus, where he finds the young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish and introduces him to Jesus. And now he introduces the Greeks to Jesus. All three times you see Andrew is the PR man of the apostles. He's the one who brings people to Jesus. And so now together it says Philip and Andrew go to Jesus and introduce him to the Greeks. Now the Greeks ask Jesus a question. The thing is, we don't know what the question is, but we do know what his answer is. And so many scholars and other commentators have speculated, what were they trying to ask Jesus about? Why did they travel all the way, from Greece to the Passover and want to see Jesus? What did they ask him? Well, based upon the response, it's that they wanted him to leave Jerusalem. They knew his death was imminent. They knew that the chief priests and the leaders of the people were going to be putting Christ to death within a short period of time. So it seems that based upon the Lord's answer, they said, come back to Athens with us. Let's get out of here. Let's leave Jerusalem. Your life is in danger. Come back to Athens and we will respect you as a great philosopher, as a great teacher. We Greeks have always loved philosophy. We've always treated our philosophers well, except that we made a big mistake with Socrates when we forced him to drink the deadly hemlock, but we've regretted that ever since. We won't do that to you, Lord, but no hemlock if you come with us. But the Lord says no. He cannot leave. His hour has come. His hour has come. He says the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And then instead of quoting scripture, which wouldn't mean anything to the Greeks, he uses an example from nature, the example of a seed being planted. And he said, when you plant a seed in the ground, you bury it and it dies, but then it springs up and produces much fruit. So Jesus says, I am that seed. I am going to be buried. I'm going to my death, but that will not be the end. It will bring about a flourishing. It will bring about new life, and it will bear much fruit. It says, amen, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And he says, I must now lose my life. And then what he says, he now prays to his Heavenly Father. He says his soul is troubled now. Should I say, Father, save me from this hour? Again, it sounds like they were offering Jesus an escape from the cross. They were offering him an opportunity to not be crucified. And Jesus prays, Father, should I be saved from this hour? It was for this purpose that I came. His purpose was to die. The great Bishop Sheen says that we all came into the world to live, but Jesus came into the world to die. He came to die for us. He says, it was for this purpose I was born. And then he says, Father, glorify your name. And then an amazing thing happens. God the Father speaks, and the crowd hears it. They think it's thunder. Others say it's an angel. This is one of the only three times in Scripture where there's an epiphany, where there's a divine revelation of God the Father. One was at the river for Jesus' baptism, when God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The second time was on the mountain of the Transfiguration, when God said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And now this third time, a week before the Lord's death, God the Father speaks in the temple of Jerusalem and says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Again, this is so important, and everybody remembers the baptism and the transfiguration, but they don't even think about this epiphany, this manifestation at the temple a week before the Lord died. So people were thinking, was it thunder? Was it an angel? And Jesus said, no, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Satan is the ruler of this world. And Jesus says, now he will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. So the lifting up again refers to his crucifixion, that when he dies, he will die for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He will die for everyone. He says, I will draw everyone to myself, not just the Jewish people, not just the Gentiles, but I will die for everyone. Says this indicated the kind of death that he would die. So when we look at this very interesting scripture, you know, what can we take from it? What can we relate to from the scripture? Well, I think a couple points we should remember. Number one is that the Greeks did not go to Jesus directly. They went to his apostles who went to Jesus. We call that the communion of saints. That's why we have the Blessed Mother and the apostles and the saints that can and do intercede and pray for us to Jesus. Can we go to Jesus directly? Of course. We go to Jesus directly all the time. But sometimes it's helpful to go with his closest friends. That's why we pray to St. Francis and Mother Teresa and John Paul II. They were Jesus' closest friends. Yes, we can go to Jesus directly, which we do when we receive communion and when we pray. But it's also good to go to Jesus with Mary, to go to Jesus with the angels, to go to Jesus with the saints. These are our intercessors. They are our friends in high places that can help us to get closer to Christ. I think the second thing we can learn from today's gospel is not to run away from the cross. Jesus could have run away. He could have taken a boat over to Athens and lived there for many years. But he never would have been the seed that fell to the ground and died and then produced much fruit by his passion, death, and resurrection. He came into the world to die, to redeem the world, to pay the price for our sins, to die on the cross, to open the gates of heaven. So he did not run away from the cross, nor should we. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, take up your cross every day and follow in my footsteps. Don't run away from the cross. And lastly, number three, this beautiful expression, we want to see Jesus. So the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. The pagans, they had desire to see Jesus. And there are many outside the church that have a desire to see Jesus as well. Where will they see Jesus? Well, hopefully they will find Jesus in his church, in the Blessed Sacrament. Hopefully they will find Jesus in the words of sacred scripture. Hopefully they'll find Jesus in your kindness and my kindness, that they'll find Jesus within us. That's where they have to see Jesus. Sometimes, as they say, you might be the only catechism that some people ever read.